Have them open at John chapter 10. Keep them open and we'll pray together. Our gracious, loving, caring Heavenly Father, what joy it is, what a privilege to be in your presence. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for his gracious, gentle, and unobtrusive mediation whereby we can come before you. Thank you for the cross of Calvary, for the saving work, when he, the just, died for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit, ready to touch our minds, kindle our hearts, mobilize our wills. Gracious Heavenly Father, in your sovereign mercy, send your Holy Spirit to us now, to us as a gathering of your people, to us as individual believers. Let him take that precious word which we hold in our hands and bring it home with clarity to our minds, compelling power to our hearts and wills. Open our eyes to the truth that you have written for us, to the truth that you would wish to share with us and to write upon our minds and memories. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You still with me, please, in John 10? Will you look at verse 11? The Lord Jesus is speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is a hired man and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hired man flees because he is a hired man and does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. We used to sing a little song years ago when we were tiny children. And when we were a little older, we used to teach it to tiny children. And those of you who are now like me in the prime of life may remember it. Jesus is the shepherd. Guess who I am? What a lovely secret. I'm his little lamb. Did you sing that? Did you teach others to sing it? Shockingly sentimental, isn't it? Jesus is the shepherd. Guess who I am? What a lovely secret. I'm his little lamb. Good gracious. How shockingly sentimental. I tell you something else about it. It is shockingly sentimental. I'll tell you something else about it. It's absolutely true. He is the shepherd. And if he is the shepherd, then I am his little lamb. What a lovely secret. I want you to take that away with you today. In a very special way that I want to share with you, it's the very heart and central message of the Gospel of John. It works out this way. All the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all tell the story of finding the tomb empty. In fact, that's all that Mark tells us. Beyond the finding of the empty tomb, we have no certainty that Mark wrote anything else. And if you look in your Bibles, you'll find a lot of scholarly claptrap about the long ending of Mark and the short ending of Mark and the no ending of Mark at all. And as far as our certainty goes, Mark told us the story of the empty tomb and stopped. And that's, it is so true to Mark's gospel. He has more words for astonishment and amazement and wonder than all the other gospels put together. Jesus is this amazing, sometimes bewildering, sometimes shocking, always astonishing Jesus. Whatever will he do next? And look what he did next. He rose from the dead. Right, said Mark, that's all I want to tell you. Isn't it good? The other Gospels, however, take the matter a bit further. It's as though they say, yes, the tomb was empty, marvelously so, and Jesus was risen from the dead, wonderfully, truly, and as a dear friend of mine said years ago, body, bones, and the lot. But now you'll want to know what sort of person this risen Jesus is. So each of the Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and John, go on to say, yes, he is truly risen from the dead, and this is the sort of person he is. Matthew takes us to a mountaintop in Galilee where Jesus said, all authority is given to me. He's that sort of person. I've got all authority, you go into all the world. Because wherever you go, I'm the authority there. Wherever you go, you're in my sway and rule and competence. I'm that sort of person. Do you remember that Matthew began on a mountain? Jesus, I can only quote the authorized version to you. If you're a devotee to one of these rather vinegary modern versions, then hard luck. Seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, isn't that memorable? Began on a mountaintop, Matthew ends on a mountaintop. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. That Jesus. Luke has his own take, as we nowadays say, or at least some people say. Luke has his own take on the risen Lord. What sort of person was he? Well, come for a walk to Emmaus with two disciples. And in the funny man-centered way in which commentators look back on the Bible, it was two men walking to Emmaus. But surely to goodness it was a man and his wife. And they're on their way home to Emmaus and they're talking about all that has happened. And they're sad because they're going to say in a moment, we had hoped. All hope is lying in the past. And again, in those lovely words, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. What sort of person is the risen Lord? He's that sort of person. He comes near and walks with us. He walks with me and talks with me upon life's narrow way. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. He's that sort of person. And as he walked with them, he was determined that they shouldn't recognize him. So he guaranteed that they wouldn't by fixing their eyes. They couldn't recognize him. They weren't allowed to. Now he said, what are you talking about? All the things that have happened these days in Jerusalem, they said. And he said, what things? As though he didn't know. You see, Jesus asked questions not to gain information, but to keep the conversation going. What things? The things about Jesus of Nazareth. We thought he was a prophet, mighty in word and deed, but he's been killed, and it's 3 days ago. Oh, fools and slow of heart, why don't you believe all that the prophets have written? And beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he showed unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now it's safe for them to look at him, because they've first seen him in the scriptures. That's the risen Lord as Luke wants us to know him. Do you remember where Luke began the ministry of Jesus? He began in a synagogue in Nazareth, where they gave Jesus the scroll of the word of God, and he unrolled it until he came to Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring gospel news to the poor. Today, said Jesus, these words are fulfilled in your hearing. And they marveled at the words of grace that proceeded from his mouth. He began as the exponent of Scripture, declaring the fulfillment of Scripture in himself, and so he ended on the road to Emmaus. He showed to them in Moses and all the Scriptures the things concerning himself, and he won't allow us to know him until we see him in the book. How about that? He doesn't give us a hotline to heaven. We only know him when we see him on the printed page, and it is through the printed page that he opens our eyes and makes our hearts burn within us. The illuminating book, the revealing book, the life-changing book. What sort of person is the risen Lord? He's that sort of person. And what about John? John tells us 6 stories. He has more resurrection stories than the other Gospels. There are 2 stories that are focused on Mary Magdalene. She came to the tomb. She saw the stone was rolled away. And she was a very impulsive, intuitive sort of girl. And so she leapt to the conclusion that the body had been stolen, and she ran to tell the others. But when Peter and John came running back to the tomb, Mary came trailing behind them. And when they left the tomb, Mary was still standing there weeping. And that's the 2nd Mary Magdalene story. She stood at the tomb weeping, and she looked in and she saw 2 angels, but her eyes were so full of tears that she took it as perfectly normal. And they said, why are you crying? And she said, because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. And she turned her back on the angels, and there was Jesus standing, but she didn't know that it was Jesus, and she thought he was the gardener. Oh, sir, she said, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him. And we come to that electric moment. There are just the 2 of them there, Mary and the one she didn't yet recognize. And it's hard to tell you this bit about the story without tears. He said to her, Mary. And her face lit up. And her whole being was transformed and transfused. And she cried out with gladness and delight, Rabboni! And she was back with the Lord again. Two stories about Mary. And then John tells us two stories about Thomas. How Jesus came to the upper room on that first Easter Sunday evening, and the story ends, and Thomas was not with them. But a week later, Jesus came and Thomas was with them. On that first occasion, when the disciples met up with Thomas, we've seen the Lord, they said. Thomas, that hard-headed customer, I can't believe that, he said. Unless I can actually handle those awful wounds, unless I can press my fingers into the nail marks, unless I can put my hand into his side, I can't believe. I think Thomas must have been at the cross, don't you? It's consonant with his hard-headed ways that he would be there and stay there and take the risks of being there and watch all that happened to the Lord Jesus. And when he saw that poor, battered body taken down from the cross and saw the great gashes in his hands and side, and then they told him that Jesus was alive. In vision, Isaiah 700 years earlier had said that his suffering exceeded that of any individual human being, and that the result of the suffering was that he no longer seemed human. And Thomas saw that, I think. How could that Jesus ever live again with those wounds, with that maltreatment, with that diminishment of human reality? How could that Jesus live? I can't believe it. Let me put my finger onto the wounds. And Jesus wasn't there when he said that. If you've ever seen that Victorian text card, it used to hang in every pious house in the country. Christ is the head of this house. How lovely. The unseen guest at every meal. How lovely. The unseen listener to every conversation. And you turn the text card over and it said, so watch it. And he was the unseen listener to the conversation when Thomas said, except I handle the wounds, I can't believe. He was the unseen listener, not to condemn. He was the unseen listener in order to know how to help. So when he came again, he so lovingly stretched out his hand to Thomas. Will this help you? He exposed his wounded side. Will this help you? Is this what you want? And Thomas cried out, my Lord and my God. Two stories about Mary, two stories about Thomas, and then two stories about Peter. Peter said, I'm going fishing. And there were four or five others who said, right, we're coming with you. And they fished all night and they caught nothing. And early in the morning, coming back, presumably through the early morning mist, They saw a figure standing on the shoreline, and they had no means of recognizing him in that misty morning. And when he called out and said, "Have you got anything to eat?" I think they presumed that he was a vagrant and begging. "No," they said. And the vagrant suddenly became the master. If you throw the net in at the right side of the ship, you'll make a catch. And now they couldn't haul the net in because it had taken so many fish. "It's the Lord," said John. And Peter, that daft hapeth, he was stripped down for work. And what do you think he did? He put all his clothes back on again before he leapt into the sea. What an impulsive lunatic. Swam to the shore. He couldn't get to Jesus quick enough. And the others came dragging the net after them, full of great fish. 153. They were true fishermen, you see. Big fish. They were all that size. 153 of them. They counted every one of them. Yet for all that there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Did you ever ask yourself, why wasn't the net broken? Well, what breaks a net full of fish is that the fish are struggling to get out. So they must have been lying passively, contentedly. And if you could have given them a voice to speak, and you'd said to them, "Why are you not struggling like fish should?" They would have said, "If he wants us, that's all right with us." And they found a fire lit, and somebody had been more successful in fishing than they had been, and there was fish on the fire cooking and bread waiting for them. Can you imagine that? Hungry men in the cold of the early morning, and that marvelous smell of fish cooking. "Come and have breakfast," said Jesus. And he took the bread and the fish in his own hands and served them. Then there's the second Peter story. He took Peter along the shoreline. And he said, "Simon, son of Jonah, Simon Johnson, do you love me?" Now there are two words for love in Greek. There's a big one and a little one. And I think it works out this way. I don't know. I may make the suggestion to you. I think it works out this way. Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me like I love you?" That's the big word. "Do you love me like I love you?" And Peter, now full of realism, said, "Lord, I love you as best I can." That's the little word. "Feed my sheep." "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me like I love you?" "Lord, I love you as best I can. Tend my lambs." "Very well then, Simon. Do you love me as best you can?" "You know, Lord, that I love you as best I can." Peter had denied Jesus three times, and Jesus was really saying to him, "I want to put you back on your feet again. I want to pick you up and dust you down and set you on your way. I want to bring you out of failure into service. Do you love me like I love you? I love you as best I can. Do you love me as best you can, really?" "Yes, I love you as best I can."
And Peter is back on his feet again. And that's John's picture of the risen Lord. The risen Lord cares about our sorrows and dries our tears. He stood with Mary at the empty tomb, and he said a most marvelous thing to her. He said, "Don't cling to me, Mary. I have not yet ascended to my Father." Can you believe it? All through John 13 to 17, Jesus has been speaking with affectionate, moving longing of returning to the Father. "I'm going back to the Father." And then when the moment came, he didn't. Why? Because he had to wait to dry Mary's tears. That's why. The risen Lord is the Good Shepherd. He stays to look after his sheep. He dries tears. He knows our sorrows. He knows our needs. And he's there to meet them. Two stories of the tomb, two stories about Mary. Two stories in the upper room, two stories about Thomas. "You're having difficulties, Thomas, are you?" I know that you're not doubting, Thomas. You're Thomas with difficulties. Let me help you. Will this help you? Come on. Handle my hands. Touch my side. That's all right. If that's what's going to help you. That's what I'm for as the risen Lord. I'm still the Good Shepherd. And then Peter, two stories by the lakeside. "You've been a failure, Peter. Toiled all night and caught nothing. I can mend that. In fact, to tell you the truth, I'm here for more than mending your failures. I'm here for making up your needs. I've got breakfast ready for you." Where did Jesus get those fish from? I guess he just knelt down by the lakeside and called them. That's my opinion. Where did he get the bread from? I don't know. I guess he went round by Mary on his way to the lakeside. Said, "I've got 7 hungry men to feed. Have you got any bread in the house?" But whatever it was, there it was there. And then he said to them, "Bring of the fish that you have now caught." And why did he say that? Because he knew that they toiled all night and they were hungry and they'd need seconds. The Good Shepherd. Meeting our needs, caring for our wants. And when we've made an absolute and seemingly irrevocable mess, picking us up, dusting it down. "Do you love me like I love you?" "Love you as best I can." "Well, do you really love me as best you can?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you as best I can." The Good Shepherd. And that's, beloved, that's the risen Lord. The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the Good Shepherd. So, guess what I am? What a lovely secret. I'm his little lamb. So are you.